First John, the fourth chapter, we read in verse 7 these words, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and eternal word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as we looked last week in 1 John at the topic of walking with God, I thought we would look once again at 1 John to see one of his applications of walking with the Lord, walking in obedience to his word, a theme that we have seen in our study of Deuteronomy, but as we take a few Sundays to look at it in other places in Scripture, here we find it. In 1 John, he talks about walking with God in the light of his word. What does that look like? Well, I think his theme focuses on what that looks like when you come to these verses of chapter 4. It looks like people who know how to love God and love one another. And we want to focus this morning on loving one another. Sometimes that can be a hard thing to do. I'm reminded of that old poem that years ago came out. Don't know where it comes from, but I think it's so true. "To dwell above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with the saints we know, that's another story." There's something to that, isn't there? We have lofty goals. But what John is saying is that those goals need the reality of life. Those goals need to be lived out. And John describes that love as loving one another. If you love God, you will love one another. Let's look at that matter of loving one another. It is a vitally important doctrine. John speaks of it in this epistle throughout the third chapter, all through the fourth chapter. It's a theme that he continues to weave through this short epistle and dwell on it. But not only does John dwell on loving one another, Jesus in his own ministry on earth does as well. And you can look where the same apostle John records in his gospel Jesus' call in the 13th chapter of John. Throughout the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter, Jesus himself speaks of loving one another. And as we think of that repeated theme, the fact that John dwells on it is important. And here in verses 7 and 8, John brings that into focus. And the focus that John has here is that love is the very test of the reality, the legitimacy of whether or not we have a true confession of faith. Now, one of the tests of a confession of faith, of course, is one's orthodoxy, a confession in the truth of the Word of God and the Scripture as it reveals the Christ of Scripture. But the correctness of belief does not stand alone. The demonstrative test that that belief is right and true is this test of love. One can be absolutely correct in one's doctrine and defend it and argue it and be devoid of the grace of God, and love is absent in that life. Perfectly orthodox people have been champions of the faith, but they have denied the faith with bitterness in their lives that they express towards others. John is talking about that very thing. The thorough test of our orthodoxy includes this test, not of the orthodoxy, but does it show a reality in our life? And what should that look like? It should look like those who love God love one another. Paul himself said something to that effect in 1 Corinthians 13. You remember in that 13th chapter, he talks about love and he gives a great description of it. Sometimes we read that passage, 1 Corinthians 13, at a wedding. And oh, it sounds so good at a wedding. And 5 years later, that couple that heard those words, love is kind, love is patient, love is enduring, come and say, we're done. We don't want to love anymore. But Paul says, about the genuine thing of love. If I don't have that, I have nothing. I'm like a noisy gong. Do you remember many years ago the gong show on TV? That dates us, doesn't it? You know, boom! You get the image when you think of that, and when you think of a gong, a noise. And Paul says, I can make a lot of noise, but if I'm not filled with love, it's like that gong. It goes off, but it can be irritating. It is nothing. And so as we see the importance of love, we want to ask, what does John teach us in this passage? Well, first of all, I want to remind you that John is writing to believers, to Christians. And he says to them, to you and to me, that we are to manifest love to one another in our lives. And if we think again of what 1 Corinthians 13 does when it catalogs so many aspects of love, not all of them, but brings us a summary of some of the aspects of love. You know, love is not easily provoked, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Does not think evil and does not rejoice in evil about others. You know, I think that's Paul's roundabout way of saying you don't gossip. You know, love does not think and rejoice in evil about others. What do you do when you gossip? You rejoice in evil. Do you know what she said? Oh, do you know what she's like? Do you know what he is? Oh, and it's almost, the juices get to flowing when you get into those conversations. Wow, I want to know more. And then all you're doing is tearing apart this other person. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that's not love, because love does not rejoice in evil about others. And when we hear these words, we feel condemned, because for us, like so many others, we love the people we like, but we find it hard to love those that we don't. Is that true of you as it is of me? It's hard to love the people that I don't like. I have a hard time getting along with. Maybe they've done something to me or said something about me and I've heard it. And I need to love those people according to God's word. It calls me to do something. That's what love really is. Love is not just simply a gooey, gushy feeling in the pit of your stomach like you got butterflies, or however you want to discuss it. As I've said many times, my premarital counseling, I always talk to that couple and I go, you know, do you love each other? Oh, of course. And I go, well, that doesn't count. It doesn't make any sense, because love is not just something you feel, you know. And they say, well, we've fallen in love. And I ask them, if there's an open manhole in the street and you walk across the street and that manhole is there, you fall in the manhole, right? And you fall into the hole. But how do I fall in love? We use these empty phrases, they mean nothing. Love is not something you fall into. Love is something you decide. You decide to love that person. You decide to love that person because, and then you go on and list the reasons, because he or she exhibits this or that. You decide in your mind. You don't fall in love. It's not something that you pick up like a virus. You decide. It's something you do. And when you think about love in that way, that's going to be helpful when it is applied to what John is saying here, love one another. It calls for Christian people to do something. What is it I'm called to do? Well, if I'm called to love someone else, I'm called to try to understand them. I'm called to help that person. Helping them is something that I do. I might not feel like it. You know, the weather outside can be brutal at times. And the wind can cut through you on a cold, icy day. And there you see someone whose car has got a flat tire and they're out there jacking it up. And you have the ability to help them, but you decide not to do something. If you stopped and decided to do something, that's love. You're helping. You're assisting. And if you're called to love someone who's a little hard to love, you bear with them. You're patient with them. It's something that you do. It's not because they are so lovable. It's because you are doing something. Bear with one another, Paul writes. Don't be irritated. Don't become antagonistic. Don't look at the problem in terms of how that problem affects you and it hurts you. Look at it as Christ would have you look at it, so that you may surmount that problem, that you may have compassion for that person and so visibly demonstrate love for him and for her. We have to love. Christians, you are called to love one another. That's what John is saying. And he says, because God is love. He links it to the fundamental statement that God is love. Now, we may feel completely inadequate to fulfill this commandment. And certainly we are in our fallen humanity. But John links it to God, where he says, God is love, so that we might find the source of being able to do what he says, to love one another. We may feel inadequate. We may feel that's hard to do because we've had or held a bitterness within us towards someone else for a long, long time. And now we're confronted with love one another. How do we do that? Well, God is love. He reminds us. Everything God does is shaped by the fact that God is love. His actions toward us demonstrate his love. Herein we know the love of God, in that he sent Christ while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God loved us first. He didn't wait for us to go, oh, I'm sorry, God. I really want to know and love you. None of us could do that. He came to us in our desperate need. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet rebels, what's a rebel? Somebody that's on the other side, antagonistic. And if you're really not clear yet about the inability to come to God apart from his sovereign grace, it tells us in Scripture that we were enemies. What did God do with his enemies? Romans is clear. Paul says, you were enemies, but God in grace came to you. That's God's love, sending his Son into the world that whosoever believes on him might have eternal life. None of us deserved it. None of us amounted to anything that said, well, I guess he's a worthy person, God would say. No. God looked at the lost humanity as a whole, and as a whole, it could be written over all of lost humanity from Adam on, not worthy because of sin. But in Christ, he has made us the recipients of his love. That's the love of God. That's the love that John says, believer, love one another because God is love. And he gives three reasons for that in this passage. The first is, of course, that love is of God. You aren't going to get this by going to the store, to a counselor, to a self-help book. You know, you go to the bookstores. They have them yet? I think so. Used to be when you go to a bookstore, you'd have to go all the way to the back for the teeny-weeny religious section, past mountains and mountains of philosophy and self-help books. They have so many self-help books. We have a philosophy that we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and we can achieve whatever we put our mind to. Well, you've got to scrap that kind of thinking when it comes to obedience to Scripture. You can't do it yourself. Love is of God. It flows from God. But the privilege we have as children of God is that God has granted us a nature that reflects his. And we have the privilege of being like God, to reflect his glory, to love with the love that God loves. And so we can do something that God himself is doing when we love one another. And the second reason, not only is love from God, but it's the evidence of the new birth. Here he says, anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Or, I'm sorry, go back to the verse 7. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. The evidence of that being born of God, the evidence of the new birth, the evidence of the fact that you're brought out of darkness into light, into the glory of the gospel, is that you love one another. That's why it's the most thorough test of our Christianity, whether or not we love one another. Not whether we've said the right things. You have to say the right things. You can't believe in a Buddhist religion or an Islamic definition of God. You have to believe in the one that's revealed in Scripture. But if you believe in the one that's revealed in Scripture and are born of God, you will love like God loves. Only those who are born of God can live like this and love as God commands us. It cannot be done otherwise. You need that divine nature, that new nature within, to be able to love one another. And according to the New Testament, all of those that are born of God must love one another and will, because they cannot help it. It's what the new nature compels us to do. It's something of the divine nature that's within me. When I'm born of God, I'm a new individual. And part of that divine nature that is given to us is God is love. There is that principle of love within that needs to be like a smoldering fire, encouraged to fan into a flame. If I'm not manifesting love, no matter what, then I cannot be a Christian. This is a desperately serious matter for John. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great preacher of our century, well, now the last century, since we're in the 21st century, he said this: there are people who are unloving, unkind, always criticizing, whispering, backbiting, pleased when they hear something against another. And they are just simply proclaiming what? That they're not born of God. They are outside of the life of God. There is no hope for them unless they repent and turn to Him. So the question that's before us is, do you love others? Do you love the ones who hurt you? Do you pray for those that are bitter toward you? Do you love the people who have done things, said things that offend you? This is what love does, brings forgiveness and evidences that we have that new nature and are born of God. And the third evidence is that everyone who is born of God and knows God loves one another. He brings that to that same conclusion. The proof of love is that we have a true spiritual knowledge of God, that is, we really know the God who is revealed in Scripture. And I need to emphasize the God who is revealed in Scripture, not the God of our imagination. You know, you'll hear people use that terminology sometimes. I think God is, and then you can hear what they think God is. Well, that may be all well and good if what you want to express comes out of Scripture, but 9 times out of 10, what they say, I think God is, comes out of their own unsanctified imagination and is not found rooted, grounded in the infallible Word of God. Our thinking needs to be shaped, molded, and it needs to be directed by Holy Scripture when it comes to who is God and what is God like, not our imaginative mind. And we really know God when we know Him as He is revealed in His Word. And His Word tells us God is love. And therefore, the more I know of God, the more I will know that God is love. And the more I will know about the love that God wants me to express to one another, because it's rooted in His Word. You and I began the Christian life by knowing things about God. We summarize some of them in the creeds of the church, or we learn of them in the catechisms, and we find it as we study Scripture that those creeds and those catechisms are based upon. We learn about his power, his love, his grace, his forgiveness. And we want to increase in that knowledge of God. We want to know him. That's what Paul says, to know him is life eternal. As we grow in that love, then we need to be reminded that we too are to love one another. You cannot command natural love. You know, you can't say to someone, you have to love that person. But you can command Christian love. That's exactly what John has done. That's exactly what Scripture does. It commands it, and it requires of the Christian that he act in a certain way, that he or she does what God says based upon the fact that you're born of God and you are able by grace to live as a new person in Jesus Christ. We have been commanded to love one another. We have received this new nature, born of God, and the outworking of that new nature is to love others as God has commanded us to love. You know, we started with that little poem. It says, to dwell above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with the saints we know, that's another story. Well, maybe the story would change if we would change with the love that God has put in our hearts and obedience to the command to love one another. Oh, we would love one another as Christ has commanded us and so fulfill his holy word. May God by his Spirit enable us not only to see it, but to live it, to do it to the glory of his name. Amen.